get Micah 6 and 8. What is good?
Micah 6 and 8. He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God.
What is good? When we think about what is good, we're thinking about sometimes to really understand the depths of something, we have to look at the opposite. So what good is the opposite of evil, bad, and wrong. So what is good? This scripture said, he has showed thee, O man, what is good. Who is the he that's talking here? It's talking about God. God has showed us what is good. He shows us what is the good and right way. How to live right. How to do right. What is good? We think about a parent might tell their child exactly what they want them to do. To that parent, that's good. If the child does it, then they might get a reward. And if they don't, then there's consequences. Well, the same way with the Lord. He has a way that he considers good. And you know that God is God Almighty, and he's God of the universe. And what he says counts, and it goes. Sometimes you might want to ignore some people, what they say, okay, I think it'd be good if you do this or that. And you might ignore them, but we will not be able to ignore God. We might ignore him in this life because he doesn't force himself on you. But in eternity, he has the last say. And if we have not done what he said is good, we will not enter into his heaven. So then, what is good with God is the things that's going to make it possible for us to go to heaven and to live with him. I was thinking, I took college classes. They don't do it so much and then they do in high school probably, but in elementary they might not go the scope of the whole class. You may know what they expect from day to day or week to week. But in college, when you begin a class, they give you what's called a syllabus. And the syllabus is a written paper that tells, or it could be online too, what is required to get a good grade. And if you follow the syllabus and if you do things as it's written in the syllabus, you will get a good grade. You can be guaranteed that. But on the other hand, if you don't, you can't go up there and say, well, you know, I deserve a better grade than this. They're going to take that syllabus and they're going to take what you did and they're going to match it. In other words, if you didn't follow the syllabus, if you didn't do what they said, you don't have an argument, right? You don't. But the same way with the Lord, he has what we might call the syllabus, and that's the Word of God, the Bible, his Word. That's his syllabus, so to speak. And in the Bible, he tells us what is good. If we follow what's in this Bible, we'll go to heaven. But if we go our own way, we won't. Let's go now to 2 Timothy 3 and 16.
2 Timothy 3 and 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And 17, yeah. That man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works.
You see how the scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. You know, I can sit up and figure out my own way. I can make up my own doctrine, and some people do. Some religions, they make up their own doctrine. But if it doesn't line up with the word of God, it's not worth following. It says for doctrine, for reproof, for instruction in righteousness. The word of God will tell us the right way, which is the good way. But we must read the word. We must search the scriptures. If somebody tell you, you should do this or you shouldn't do that, if you search the scripture, you'll know whether you should do it or not. And if they say it and it doesn't line up with the word of God, you're not obligated to follow that. You must be it, whatever doctrine, whatever reproof, whatever instruction, all of that must be founded on the word of God. The word of God is the foundation. And without it, it's void. It's of no value. I think about Jesus, the rich young ruler, sometimes we say, came to Jesus. Let's go to Matthew. And he told him what it takes to please God. Matthew 19, verses 16 to 22.
And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?
Stop just a minute. What did he ask? What is good, right? What good thing? That's what we want to know. What good thing? God showed the scriptures, the first scripture we read said he has showed thee, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of thee? So the rich young ruler, in one scripture I think it might say that he's the rich young ruler. Anyway, he came to him, wanting to know, what good thing can I do to inherit eternal life? We need to know what good thing is going to be required of us that we may have eternal life. We're not going to be here always. We need to prepare for eternity. That one scripture says, prepare to meet thy God. And in order to do that, we need to find out through his word what to do. Jesus told this young ruler what to do. What did he say?
And he said, verse 17, and he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He said unto him,
Stop just a minute. Keep the commandments. The commandments, the word of God. Go on.
He said unto him, Which? Jesus said. He said unto him, Which? Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man says unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions.
So even though he seemed like he meant well and he wanted to know what is good, when he found out, he wasn't willing to pay that price. Many people today are not. They might ask you, well, what should I do to be saved? Some have done that. And then they may not want it. They may not want to do it because they're not willing to give up the things that they are doing wrong. He said, do no murder. It's a whole lot of things that he listed here. He said, well, I kept all these things, but he had great possession. Jesus knew his heart was in his money, and he needed to get rid of that. Sometimes we can have our hearts set on things that's not good. is more important to us than God. And in that, he wants us to get rid of those things. We don't need to have anything that's more important to us than God, but his riches were. So he went away sorrowful. So let's look at some more scriptures about what's good so we'll know what God expects of us. Let's go to 3 John 1 and 11. We want to do good. If we want to know what's good, do the right and forsake the evil or the wrong.
3 John 1 and 11. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God.
So, anything evil, we're going to forsake it. But if we follow that which is good, remember, good is like right. Something is right and in the sight of God. Let's go to Luke 6 and 45. Forsake the evil. Do you want to know what's good? Forsake the evil and do the right or do the good.
A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good and evil. Then out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For the
of the abundant
of the heart his mouth.
Okay, good. See what this is? We have to have our heart changed. In order to do good, we're going to have a good heart. When we give our heart to the Lord, when we ask God to forgive us for our sins and to come into our heart, he changes our heart. We're not the same anymore. When we repent, we're sorry for our sins, we ask his forgiveness, then he makes us new and clean inside. So then we can do good. So here, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. But an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. We want to do that which is good, so we got to start right. We got to do it from God. We naturally, the way we were born in sin, we're not going to do right on our own. It takes God to help us to do the right thing. So let's give our heart to the Lord first. And if we give our heart to the Lord, then when he comes in, we're going to change. We're going to start doing good. I remember once it was one of the young people had gotten saved years ago, and they were asking her, now, what do you do? What does it mean? She said, straighten up and fly right. Other words, I've been going wrong. I've been doing the wrong thing. Now I got to straighten up and go the right way. And so that is what it is. What does the Lord require of us? This he requires of us, to do good. Let's go now to Romans 12 and 2. I'm thankful that the Lord did not leave us without a way out, without a knowledge of what is good. That scripture says, he has showed thee, O man, what is good. He shows us through his word. And he lets us know what is the good and the right way.
Romans 12 and
2.
And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
You see? When you get saved, your mind, your heart is changed. Your mind is also changed. He changes your mind. And he, it said, be transformed. by the renewing of your mind. You don't have that same old mind that you had before. You don't want to do those things that you used to do because of God. God is in your heart, but he's also in your mind. He transforms your mind. Where you enjoyed all the wrong thing and the evil things before, when you get saved, you don't enjoy those things anymore. You want to do the right thing. Your mind is to do the right thing. Go God's way. Now, brother, go down to verse 9 and 10 and read those two verses.
12, 9, and 10. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, to in honor preferring one another.
Do you see how it says, abhor that which is evil? In other words, you hate the evil now. I'm changed. I'm a new person. I'm living for God now. I don't like those old evil things that I used to do and say. The words that come out of your mouth, the evil words, you don't like that anymore. So you don't want to say it, and you don't say it. You stop doing that. And you cleave means to hold on to, get a hold to that which is good. You want to just really just do all the good you can do. That's what you do when you get saved and when you're transformed. 1 Timothy 2, 1 to 3. So you see, when God gets in there, you start doing good. And he will be pleased, and you'll be accepted with him when he comes.
1 Timothy 2 and 1. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all good godliness and honesty.
So we want to live, we're going to have a whole different lifestyle. We're going to start praying for others, and when we do that, God will help us. And we want to be able, we pray for the rulers and everything. We'll soon be having election. We need to be praying now, that the Lord will have mercy on us and help us to get somebody in there that fears God. But anyway, we still need to pray for our leaders. Now, we want to think about what is the right way. There's some scriptures that tell us, you know, okay, if we're going to go God's way and we're going to do good, we have to go the right way. Let's go to Psalms 25, 8 and 9. The Lord is faithful to lead us in the right way. God cares about us so much that he's going to show us what is the right way.
Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will he teach sinners in the way. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way.
See, God loves us enough to teach us what is his way. Psalms 119, I don't remember the verse, says, thy word is a lamp, light unto my pathway, and a lamp unto my feet. Or do I have it backwards? But the word of God shows us the right way. And I thank the Lord that we don't have to be in darkness. We don't have to be in confusion. We don't have to say, well, I don't know what's right. Because if we don't know, we can ask him. We can go to him and ask him, what is the right way? What is the way to go? I had a situation, I think it was yesterday. No, Friday. And I just was so concerned about it. And I wanted to, then I went to the Lord and I said, Lord, what should I do? And he showed me just what to do. And I tell you, the Lord worked in a mighty way. We can pray to him. We can ask him, seek him, that he will guide us and lead us. We need to not feel like I got it. I know the way. I know what to do. He wants us to depend on him, to know just what is the right way, what is the good way. Let's go to Isaiah 30 and 21. Don't be ashamed to pray to him and to ask him and to seek him. Don't also be a know-it-all. Sometimes we have teenagers. They feel like they got it together and they know it, and it's really hard sometimes to tell them any way different. But if they could only know that if they listen, they can be guided and they will not make many mistakes and many heartaches they could avoid by listening. I've heard of people that say, you know, my child was getting ready to marry a certain person, and I told them, I don't think that's a wise move you're making. But they couldn't listen, and they went headstrong. And then later on, they have many regrets. Not only so, I had a cousin who I think I told you all about it. He and some friends were going to Keystone Lake. They were going to swim. There's a certain part of you could swim. And so they started walking out to go swim. And while all this group of them, I don't know how many, but all of a sudden, but before he went, his mother said, I don't really want you to go, or I don't think you should go. I don't think she told him, don't go. He was 15 years old, but she expressed she didn't want him to go. And so while they were walking and talking, all of a sudden, they couldn't find him. He was walking with them, but he disappeared. They couldn't find him. So they got the authorities, and they showed him where they last saw him. Well, he had stepped in a suction pit, and he died. That was my cousin. But I was thinking how that he might even still be here today if he had listened. And so it is good to listen and not to feel like you got it together and you know it. And here, when we're not sure of ourselves, or we start to make a decision or something, it's good if we will ask the Lord, Lord, what should I do? What is the good way? Let's go. Did somebody get Isaiah 30 and 21?
And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when ye turn to the right hand and when ye turn to the left.
The Lord, through his word and his spirit, will guide us in the right way. If we start to make a mistake and go to the left or to the right, either way, that's not his way, he will let us know. You know, he deals with us through our conscience. You'll hear that little voice say, this is the way, walk ye in. But sometimes we want to go that way, right? Or sometimes we want to go left. I don't want to hear it. Sometimes people don't want to hear it. But if they don't, they will fall. They'll go to their own destruction. When the Lord said this is the way, then we must follow it if we want to go to his heaven. Jeremiah 6 and 16.
Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask, for the old path, where is the good way? and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein.
That's what happens. Many times people will not walk in it, even though they should seek the Lord and not just go their own way or go their own mind. Many times when they find out the right way, they will not do it. They don't want to do it. But we don't have to be like that. We can be pliable in the hands of the Lord. We can be where we have a willingness and a desire to know what is the good way. And the Lord is so faithful to let us know. Let's go now to Proverbs 2 and verses 1 through 9.
Proverbs 2 and 1. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest for knowledge and lifted up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for a hidden treasure, then thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth his path of judgment, and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. When wisdom entereth into thy heart, and knowledge is present unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee.
These are some very important scriptures. We need to have a willingness to obey God and to follow. He said, my son, read that first verse, my son. He wants us to be willing to do what he says. You know, it's one thing to hear the word and to know the right way, but it's another thing to be willing to do it. So we want to hear it, we want to know it, but we also want to be willing to do it. What did he say on that first verse?
My son, if thou would receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding.
Yes, receive it. Receive the word. When you hear the word, when you find out what is the right way, then do it. Apply your heart to it and do it. It's going to bless you in the end. You know what? You'll never make a mistake going God's way. You never will. But you'll make a whole lot of mistakes in life if you don't. If you go your way, you're going to regret it over and over again. But it's very important that we hear his commandments and apply our heart to understanding and to obey and be willing to be told. You know, if we think we know and we can't be told, we're going to meet many heartaches in life. It'll take you down a dark path. But if we obey God and go his way, we'll be blessed and we'll have wisdom. We don't have wisdom on our own. Wisdom comes from God. The one scripture says the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Our own mind and idea is not wisdom. Our wisdom must match up with what God tells us to do. Let's go now to John 14 and 6. If we want to think about, well, what is the good way? Jesus tells us in John 14 and 6 that he's the way.
John 14 and 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me.
I am the way, the truth, and the life. We need to follow Jesus. We need to follow what he's told us to do. And we will not make a mistake Galatians 6, and we're going to go 6 to 10.
Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teaches in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. And we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith.
So you want to see, God is not marked, whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. But he wants us to do good to all men. Don't give in to the flesh. The flesh will take you down. But resist the flesh and do the things that's good and pleasing in the sight of God. I just have two more scriptures. Titus 2:11-14.
For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works.
You see, when we want to go the right way, we're going to have to deny the flesh. It says, teaching us that denying ungodliness, that means the things that are wrong and evil, that we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. God expects us to live right, to do the right thing, to live a clean and pure life before him, living soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Some people say sin, you must sin, you can't help, but that's not God's way. God wants you to get rid of the sin business. When you get saved, you ask forgiveness for your sin. You need to turn your back on sin and not go back to it. Let's read one more scripture, Ecclesiastes 12:13-14. The good way is the godly way, the righteous way. That is the good way.
Ecclesiastes 12:13?
Yes.
Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. But God shall bring every work into judgment, and every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil.
That's true. So we must look for the good way and walk in it and do the right thing. And when we do, we can expect in the judgment that we can go and live eternally with God in heaven. Pray for me.